If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of Mark, chapter number 4, is on our heart this evening. It is where we have been studying verse by verse through the book of Mark, treasures from the book of Mark. And tonight we're up to Mark, chapter number 4, and we're looking this evening in verses 30, 31, 32, and 33. So if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you, I know that you've just been standing, I'm going to ask you if you would please stand back to your feet. That would be a blessing tonight. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 30. And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." That's Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 34, if correctly read. I want to preach on this thought tonight: the mighty mustard seed. The mighty mustard seed. Father, as we bow our head before you this evening, Lord, we ask your blessing upon our time together. Lord, we praise you for this opportunity that you've given to us. And I pray tonight, God, that you would open the pages of the Word of God, these verses, Lord, and speak to our hearts. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. And with this we pray in Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, a seed is small. It's virtually almost weightless. And the mustard seed is the least of the least. It's like a fleck of pepper, if you will, that you may put in your eggs. Yet, when it is sown, Jesus said, it becomes the greatest. And it represents the gospel, and it represents the growth of the kingdom of God. 3 points tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, I want us to examine the stimulating proposal. Jesus asked two questions. Verse 30, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God?" Question one. And question two, "Or with what comparison shall we compare it?" So he is proposing some questions. He's doing this to raise or to pique our interest, to draw people into the context that he's getting ready to teach. Any question that Jesus asks us is very important. He said one time, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" One time he said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" One time he said, "Why are you so fearful and have no faith?" Look at verse 40 of this chapter. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Asking questions. His questions are strategic, they're intentional, and they're purposeful. Preacher Darren, why is he asking? Doesn't he know? Honey, he knows all things, but he's proposing a question to draw us into the conversation. We know that he's going to teach parables. He mentioned it in verse 2, he's teaching in parables, and again in verse 33, he is teaching parables. The Greek word is the word parabolo, which means to cast alongside. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Oftentimes, he gives parables to reveal truth. Maybe some unknown something he's trying to show us. Yet at the same time, he's concealing truth from those who have rejected and will not receive his message. The parable just gives an illustration and he gives no interpretation. And they just go, scratch your head and walk off. So it reveals truth. If you're interested, you want to think about it, ponder on it, pray, seek his face, he'll give you interpretation. But if you really don't care, it conceals truth. Amen. We read the parable of the sower when we started the chapter. Remember, the sower, he gave us an interpretation. He is the sower. The Son of God is the sower. The seed is the Word of God, which is being sown. Thank God for it. It fell on four types of soil: compacted soil, crippled soil, crushed soil, and choice soil. Thank God for it. It is a stimulating proposal. He's asking questions to try to draw you into the conversation. As I read this again on Sunday afternoon, as I read it again on Monday, as I sat down with it on Tuesday, as I examined it again today, I'll tell you those questions are daunting and they're blaring in my mind. I cannot even give them the answer. But Jesus said, let's compare it. Let's give us a likeness. So number two, these all start with the SP. Number two, the simple parable. He says in verse 31, the kingdom of God, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. So he gives us details about sowing the seed. Who's the sower? He's already told us. Jesus Christ is the sower. He's turned that sowing over to you and I, not just to preachers, to anyone who would testify and share witness. You are sowing the seed of the Word of God. That's the sower. What is his identity? Jesus is the sower. What is his intention? When you sow seed, you're intending that one day you're going to have a harvest. That's what the goal is. May I say this tonight? I had a packet of seeds. Here's the thing. They will not grow till you sow them. Are y'all okay with that statement? The seed will grow if you sow the seed. But if you leave the seed in the barn, you're not going to have a harvest. So he details the sowing of the seed. He describes the size of the seed. He said the mustard seed is less than all the seeds. Jesus even said it is a grain of mustard seed. It is the smallest of all. I mean, it's just a millimeter in diameter. What about that? And he uses this that is a millimeter, not even as big as the tip of your finger. That is so small. It's still true today. The least of all the seeds. He uses that as an example of the gospel kingdom. Have a question as I begin to ponder. When God created the world, did he start with an entire city? Did he start with an entire nation? Did he not start with just one man? And may I just stop and point out, and then one woman. And that man and that woman God used to begin the entire human race. Small beginnings, big results. Amen? When God brought judgment upon the earth and the whole world was flooded, did he not just use one man named Noah and his family to replenish the entire world? Small beginnings, big results. Amen? When God started a nation of Israel, did he not use just one old man named Abraham, about 100 years old, and his aging wife, how you like how I said that, Sarah, who is 90, amen, to start the nation of Israel? What about that? God starts with something small to do something that is great. Did Jesus not start with just 12 disciples? And one of them would betray him, amen? So out of 11 disciples, he used those 11 disciples to begin a great work. I'm talking about small groups. And here you are in your Sunday school class, demanding that you have 10 times how many you have. When you need to examine that God starts with small beginnings. Amen? God's trying to do a work amongst us if we'll let him. Amen? Now, he chose these men. They're poor, unlearned, ignorant men, small in number, small in influence, and yet little as much when God is in it. In the eyes of the world, the gospel kingdom and Jesus being the head of the church are small, insignificant, and to the world, unimportant. I'll tell you what they thought of Jesus. They rejected him after he preached 3.5 years and they crucified him. Yet God allowed it because that was his plan. Amen. But he didn't stay dead. Amen. Though the world wanted him dead, Jesus arose in victory on the first day of the week. And Jesus is still the greatest power of all kingdoms and kingdoms to come. Amen. When the Lord called me to preach, when He called me to pastor, my first Sunday as I was pastoring, I had 23 people. And on Sunday night I came back, we had 7 people. That was counting me and my wife and my daughter. In other words, we had 4 people. That's where I started preaching. Amen, young preacher. Don't you get discouraged. You just lay in there and preach the truth of the Word of God. Every Saturday night for 2 years, I would go to a little church down towards Saluda. I was invited by the pastor. Every Saturday night, I'd preach to him, his wife, and another fella, and me, and sometimes Gina when she was able to come. And one time we brought Shelby, and Shelby was so little, she was crying and making noise, and we were embarrassed and started to take her out. And the preacher stood up and said, "No, young lady, you let that baby cry. You know how long it's been in this church since we've heard a baby cry? Let it cry. That's a blessing, amen. You think babies are a distraction." That preacher said that baby is a blessing. Hey, thank God for a baby that's a crying. Thank God for some people that's making noises around the house of God, amen. We need that. Now, let's just be reminded of something. Turn back to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, chapter number 4. The book of Zechariah, chapter number 4. May I say this to you tonight? Are you involved in ministry, young man? Are you involved in ministry, sir? Are you involved in ministry, ma'am? I tell you what you do. Let us not be guilty of looking around to see who's not here and who is here. The thing we should focus upon is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. That's what we're supposed to be conscious of. Amen. The book of Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 10. For, are you there? Say amen. For who hath despised the day of small things? Sometimes, as a preacher, maybe you show up to a service, and you see a small attendance and you think, oh man, nobody's here. You try to stir people. You try to encourage people. You try to get them motivated. You try to get them to come back and they don't give a rip. They're not coming back. They want to do something different. And it'll kill you and destroy your spirit if you're not careful. Amen. I know preachers that's not had revival for 10 years because the preacher told me, said, I've not had revival for 10 years. He said, because every time I have it, by the end of the week, I'm so discouraged because my people wouldn't come. That it wasn't revival for me. It was disappointment. Amen! You ever been there? And the preacher apologizing for the attendance. Let me tell you something. I didn't know what the attendance was before I came. And I don't care what the attendance was when I leave. Amen? I'm just telling you, it's about Jesus, not about the attendance. Amen? Who, look with me again, verse 10. Who hath despised the day of small things? May I say tonight, amen, never despise small things. God always starts with small things. In fact, y'all say, thank you, Lord, for the small things in my life. For if I'm faithful to His cause, God's going to do great things in small things. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus also used the mustard seed as a symbol of faith. In Matthew 17, turn there with me. Matthew 17 and verse number 20. Jesus said in the middle of the verse, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Amen. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. That which is least than all other seeds. Listen, it's not about how much faith you have. It's who your faith is in. Just a little faith in the right one. Amen. He'll do big things, honey. He just needs us to have a little faith. Amen. I'm reminded as a little old lady back in Madison County where my people's all come from. And as a preacher, we can tell you that's where you're from by the way you talk. And she was taking that verse to heart and claiming it and up praying. And she was up on a cliff up there praying, begging God. She said, Lord, You said if I had faith as a grain of mustard seed, I could say to this mountain,
be thou removed, and you'd cast it to the sea. And Lord, you said nothing be impossible. Lord, I'm asking you to move this mountain. Now, she had some obstacles in her life, and she was begging God to do them. And about that time, up above her, a pig was rooting. And as he was moving with his noise, he knocked some pebbles loose, and they began to roll down the side of that mountain on that crest of the cliff where she was, and pebbles was falling all around her. And all while she's praying, say to this mountain, be thou removed, pebbles started moving. And she stopped. She said, wait, Lord, can't you take a joke? Now I'm just going to say, man, sometimes you better be careful what you pray for. God may get some pigs start rooting around you, amen. You better make sure you mean business with the king before you send that prayer request up. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus declares, not only is describing the size, but he declares the strength of this seed. Let's go back to our text. We see it's small in size, the least of the least. It's representing the growth of the kingdom. It's representing the gospel. It's representing maybe even our faith. Amen. Now look what he says about it. He's declaring strength. Verse 32. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. What about that? The mustard seed, when it begins to germinate, and power to push the dirt and the rocks out of the way, and up it comes, amen. That little seed has received prolific strength from God Almighty. Honey, you think about where you and I have come from, how deep in the depths of depravity and the mire of sin we were, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and up from that place, he began to bring us, amen, and he's growing us according to his precious word. I thank you for that. There was just a small group of followers that gathered on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. There were 120 believers, and the Holy Ghost fell. And when he fell, on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. You may say 120 people, Preacher Darren, on an attendance service, not a big day. You count 50 days from the Passover, you're going to find the day of Pentecost, amen. And when it fell, thank God, 3,000 people got saved. And shortly, a few weeks after or days after, 5,000 more got saved. It took root in Ephesus, in Philippi, in Corinth, in Rome, all over Galatia. It went across North Africa, over Asia Minor. It went into Europe, somehow made its way across the ocean into the United States, down to a state called North Carolina. It come to the Balfour Baptist Church where I was, and he saved me, amen. Honey, I'm telling you, the power of the seed, the Word of God will reach from sea to shining sea and back again, amen. Thank God for it tonight. He's describing the strength of the seed. Jesus said, I'll, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Well, Preacher Darren, it's just a little old mustard seed. It's small and unimportant, and we can neglect it, and we can skip around and pick which service we want to go to and not. Amen, you sure can. But honey, I'm telling you, the power of the seed will do amazing things in your life if you'll let it. In fact, that little early church began to grow mightily. Listen to what he said in Luke chapter 12. Fear not, little flock. Didn't say big flock. Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I get to thinking about being the power of the seed. There is life inside that seed. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Thank God for it. Men cannot manufacture a seed that will give life. We'll say that again. I didn't get one amen. Men cannot manufacture a seed that will give life. They're trying and trying and trying. Preacher, we've got all these. I'm just telling you, we can't do it. There's power of the seed. God has done a work inside that seed, amen. Think of the transformation that it's done in your life, in individuals' lives, in the life of families. I saw families that were split completely apart and I saw God get in it and begin one night, get in it, begin to work and restore. One night in revival service here, Brother Fletcher was preaching. Son, we had the biggest crowd. He'd come down here right here, put his foot on this pew, and he said, if you think this is as good as it gets, you are crazy. You may think, Preacher Darren, the best years of Bethel Baptist Church have already gone by. You lost your mind. That very night, I saw a young lady. Her and her husband was split apart. I knew it, but hardly anybody else knew it. They was in the biggest fight. They was, listen, wasn't supposed to be in the same building together. But she came to revival hoping to get help. And he came to revival hoping to get help. And he knew she would never come to church. And she knew he would never come to church. And Lord God, they both come to church. When I seen them, I was sweating bullets. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, we're going to have a fight tonight. Lord, help us with revival. God really said, and I watched at the end. Listen, when he said that, all the calls given, I seen her make her way down this altar over here. And I went, woo. And some people started gathering around her. Didn't really know, but they, and I seen him come over here. And I went, listen, and God put them back together and restored their marriage and put them and their little children back together. The power of the seed in the lives of believers, in the lives of individuals, in the lives of families. Well, Lord God, just think about Apostle Paul. Think about what the power of the seed, the mustard seed, did in Paul's life. Here's a man that was persecuting the church, that was against the things of God, arresting people, taking them off to jail, held the coats of them while they stoned Stephen to get death. He's really a murderer, amen. And yet one day the Lord met him on the Damascus Road, amen. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hardly to kick against the pricks. And he said, Lord, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He got saved right there. I'm just telling you, the power of God to turn a man on his way to hell in the name of religion and get him saved and make him a missionary and preach in the Word of God. Honey, I'm telling you, the power of the mustard seed, it has strength like no other seed. Amen. What is the product? Not just the power of the seed. Preacher Darren, can you explain to me the product of the seed? Well, the Lord did. He shared with us staggering heights, staggering dimensions. This little bitty, less than a fleck of pepper seed put in the ground, you cover up, forget about, and think nothing's going to happen. In 1 year's time, it'll grow taller than you. How long did it take you to get as tall as you are? I'm 6'3" and a half. And it took me 56 years to get where I am. And now I'm on my way back down. Say amen if you can identify right there. Those of you that have back stuff and age coming on, amen. I'm on my way back down again. But that little mustard seed in 1 year's time, 1 year from the time you sow it, will grow taller than you, twice taller than you, and go 12 to 15 feet tall in 1 year's time. Not to mention what may happen the year after and the year after and the year after. It is the greatest growth of any plant or herb that there is known to man. Oh, glory to God. That's the power of God working through the smallest seed that there is around. The kingdom of God is spreading bountifully with blessings all over the world. I begin to think about how Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, I read behind him a lot. I checked it again today. He was 16 years old, wandering outside in the cold in the middle of a blizzard. He was seeking shelter, and he just wandered. He wandered into the Artillery Street Church in Colchester, England. He sat down on the end of the pew to get warm. And a man got up. I don't think the pastor could even make it because of the blizzard. But a man got up. Oh, boy. Isaiah 45. Turn there with me. Isaiah 45. Help me, Jesus. Isaiah 45, verse number 22. A man that was a layman in the church that was able to make it and walk to church in the time of a blizzard was faithful. Thank God for you being faithful on this Wednesday night. Was faithful to get in the pulpit and read Scripture and talk. Guess what he read? Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me. You ought to underline this. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The Spirit of God convicted Charles Spurgeon, and he got saved. Because he went to one little old meeting in the middle of a blizzard in Colchester, England, at the Artillery Street Church. He became a great, great man of God, winning thousands of people, and pastored the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Honey, I'm telling you, the power of the seed to work in your life and open doors and do things for you is like no other. So don't you come up in here tonight saying, all my blessings are gone. I don't know where I'm going to turn to. We've got sickness, and that's the end. We've got financial problems, and that's the end. Lost our job, and that's the end. Honey, this is not as good as it gets. You have no idea. He's going to take you from the end of this situation, and he's going to give you a brand new beginning.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about how God works? Preacher Darren, I don't know. Neither do I. But when I read the Word of God, I get encouraged. Because he says in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that the night and the day, amen, was the... He didn't say day and night. He said evening. He said it backwards to the way we would say it. You see, God already knows how the end is. He just works out a beginning to fit it. You'll get that minute, and that'll run through your soul, and you'll say, Lord, have mercy. He's already seen me cleaned up in glory, and he's worked. Woo! Hallelujah to God for that, amen. The power and the product of the seed of the Word of God. Now, watch this. Not only is it got staggering heights, but it's got a shadowy habitation. Now, I read behind a lot of preachers. The Bible says, so it shoots out all these great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And everyone, I was reading them, they say, listen, it's a blessing. The church is growing, and it's got branches going out, ministries going out, and the birds, families are bringing their children, they're nesting. The word is lodge. They're lodging there. They're nesting there under the shadow of the church. It's a good place for the babies to get saved and grow up in the things of God. And I'm telling you, that is an excellent place to preach. But God began to deal with me out of this very chapter, comparing Scripture to Scripture. Let's do that for a second. Let's go back to the parable of the sower in verse number 3. Y'all okay? Mark 4, verse number 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Those fowls are being used, in my opinion, just trying to rightly divide the word, in a negative connotation. In fact, Jesus himself, being our interpreter, interprets what the parable means in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan. Who? Who? I'm not trying to sound like an owl. Who? Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So, the mustard seed experiences prolific growth. It's grown to staggering heights, excessive dimensions, and the birds of the air notice it. And they begin to fly into it. And they begin to lodge there, and they begin to nest there. They saw its expanding branches. They saw its protective height. They saw its comforting shade. This is a good place. So the birds make that their home. But the way I was raised, we didn't want birds in our garden. We put up scarecrows to chase the birds away, to keep them off the seeds and the tender plants. Why? Because birds, the world, unbelief hinders the growth of the garden. The birds are not good. They represent Satan and those under his control. And as the church grows, there will be believers and unbelievers that come together. And they come and they take away the seed. Preacher Darren, you're making me mad. That's not right. Jesus picked 12 disciples. One of them was an unbeliever. Amen, Preacher Darren, you're exactly right. In his very own group, there was unbelievers. I'm just telling you. There are people that are part of the church that are unbelievers. And they're part of the church because it looks good on their resume, and it looks good for their business, that, you know, shaking hands and exchanging money. Some of that goes on. Amen, Preacher Darren. And they try to take away the seed. Let me tell you what they do. The Word of God, which is our standard that we live by, is slowly being replaced in churches that are old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled churches by tradition and the commandments of men changing. Let's change the Word into something else, and we'll still call it church. I'm just telling you, y'all, it's what's going on. So I want you to beware these seductive swallows and these cultic crows and these self-righteous ravens and these liberal larks and these legalistic loons, scavengers, vultures, buzzards. They are birds that are in need of a transformation. I went to church for years. Sat right there underneath the leafy green shadow. Didn't feel one bit of conviction. I was just fine. I thought, man, I'm here. And if you ain't careful, I could be self-righteous and tell other people, get off my branch. I was here first. This is where my family's nesting. Go get your own area. This, hey, preacher, this way. I know how it works in the church. And then one day I met Jesus. See, here's the thing about the birds in the church. I welcome them. Preacher, that could be a bad thing. Not if you're preaching the truth. Because the hope is that the birds get converted and become doves. Say amen right there. Some of us were birds in the church, and we were just alone for the ride, for the comforts that it brought, for the blessings. You know how blessed the church can be? You think about our nation. How God has blessed our nation because of the freedoms and the liberties they've given to the churches and the missions going out all across the world. Preacher Darren, you've lost your mind. Now think about it. The birds are enjoying the shade, according to this verse, that the mustard tree or her mustard plant has provided. In the church, here's the blessings they enjoy. In the church, there's hard work. There's family values. There's excellent education. There's human dignity. There's the sanctity of life. There's uplifting music. There's respect for authority. There's comfort for the bereaved. There is care for the sick. There's the exaltation of Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Thank God for that in the local church. Amen for it. Listen to me very carefully. Roger Batson was talking with a president of a nation in South America, the continent. And they were trying to discern the difference between North America and South America. And why God seemingly has blessed North America at that point so much more than South America. The natural resources from both of the Americas are extraordinary. And seemingly, there are more resources in South America But North America has more blessings. Hear me what the South American president said. Those who came to our shores came seeking gold. But those who came to the shores of North America came seeking God. And there are people all over our land enjoying blessings that God has sent to us because of the local church. But they don't appreciate it. They're birds, scavengers. They're trying to tear down the sanctity of life. Trying to tear. You hear me? Do you not see it? Lord, you're looking at me funny. Don't you see it on the news every day? Preacher, you're getting a little bit political. You're getting a little bit close to where I'm. Hey, hear me well. The truth is the truth. Thirdly, and I'm done. There is, and this will be quick. There is thirdly the strategic purpose. Verse 33. With many such parables spake he the word unto them. What about that? He's teaching in parables as they were able to hear it. You ought to underline that. As they were able to hear it. You see, sometimes his teaching was restricted because they were not willing to hear it. Can I give you a truth here? And you need to learn this, Luke, preachers. Everyone, God bless them, but they do not all have the same capacity for truth. You just can't expect that everybody's going to get, they're not. Not everybody has the same capacity for truth. Jesus, the greatest teacher ever been, taught them as they were able to hear it. So he would teach the parable and he may withhold interpretation until they repent, until they receive the gospel. Are you okay? You see, here's the thing. As he's teaching this, those birds are standing right there in the nation of Israel. Pharisees, Sadducees, religion, priests, elders, leadership, who have rejected Jesus as Messiah, but they embrace religion all day long. Religion is nothing more than a shadow for you to live under comfortably. Religion will not save you. Amen. Being under the shadow, under the steeple, will not save you. You must come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 34. But without a parable, spake he not unto them. In other words, they couldn't get it. And when they were, what's that next word? Alone. He was with his disciples, with those that are willing to receive it. When he was alone with them, the Bible says he expounded all things to his disciples. He's not going to say more than he's already said to the public, but to the individuals that are hungry for it, he expounded further those that were able to receive it. So I'm praying here. And the Lord spoke to me to say, son, you need to be encouraged. Sometimes I get real down on myself. And I get real down on, I've had a lot of sickness and my body's breaking down. Y'all have no idea how bad it's been at times. Been times I just wanted to stop preaching in the middle of the message and just go, tag, you're in. I can't do this right. I've been that sick, y'all. I mean, it's been bad. Today's the best day I've had in months. And I thank God for it. I mean, my body has just been given up. And I know it's a battle with the flesh that we all have to fight. I realize that. But as I'm sitting here licking my wounds, praying, seeking God's face, hoping I'll have enough strength tonight to be able to preach and get through it, amen, and then figure out what I'm going to do for tomorrow, God said, son, I want you to be encouraged. I have allowed you to hear the word of God. You don't know what a privilege that is. I've allowed you to hear and receive truth. Divine illumination. Divine instruction. Understanding that only God can give us from the Spirit of truth. God said, and this is when I called y'all this afternoon. God said, I want you to have renewed confidence and courage in what I'm doing. It may not be happening as fast as you want it to, but if you'll just step back for a little bit, and I just want you to look at what I've been doing in your life. And me and Jesus had church under my desk, at my house, in my study. And when I finished near 2 o'clock today, God said, now you call your people and you invite them to come. What a great opportunity, because I want to show them tonight that I've got better things I want to do. And as many who will receive it, I'm going to grant it. But he said, now don't you go and get discouraged because you called 250 people. Don't you expect all 250 of them is going to come. Don't get discouraged because God's going to have here those who want it. Hey, man! Somebody right then just got mad at me. You see, the power of the seed, it's able to do staggering things. And honey, I'm telling you tonight, your faithfulness to God is going to produce great rewards. Y'all zoom in real close. Brother Harvey, zoom in real tight right here. Y'all zoom, focus in. And if you're a bird, if you've never been saved, if you've never called on Jesus and you've just become a part of the one-way group or a part of a Sunday school group or part of a something ministry that's going on here at Bethel, but if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you the best thing you'll ever do is repent and believe the gospel. You need to call on Jesus before it's everlasting too late. One day Jesus changed me from one of them old dirty birds into a saved bird. And he made me one of his children, one of his youngins. And it's been the best thing. Can I get a witness? It's been the best thing. Can I get a witness? It's been the best thing that's ever happened to this old boy right here. And it was hard to admit that I was just being part of what was going on. But it's the best thing I've ever done. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet tonight. Maybe there's somebody here and you've got a problem. I mean, it is daunting. It is. I'm just trusting what God told me to do under my desk. You have a problem. It is daunting and you cannot fix it. But God said that that little seed, when it's buried and put in the ground, when it is sown and covered up, Once it's sown up, it has the power. God gives it the power to push through and to go forward for the cause of Christ and to grow according to the purpose of the Almighty. And I'm inviting you now. Would you come and tell God, I believe the power, the mighty power in that mustard seed. Would you come now? Come on, mind the Lord.